You are live.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 6 p.m., September 20th, 2021, and this is the regular town council meeting for the town of Curry Beach. John, may we please have the invocation?
Certainly. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. Help us to engage in meaningful discussion, allow us to grow closer as a group, and nurture the bonds of community. Father, we praise and thank you for this day. You've given us another opportunity to appreciate life and to fill our mission as your instruments of peace and progress. Please pardon us for our shortcomings and bless all our endeavors, especially today's meeting. Guide us in our discussions. Enlighten our minds in every decision that we make. Give us your grace that we may effectively do our parts as public servants. Bless our plans, our programs, and our projects so that we may achieve our objectives for your greater glory. Amen.
Amen. Please rise for the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay.
If I could, before we go further, this past week we lost one of our citizens here in town and they've been a vital role in committees over the years, and I think we need to if you know the family or if you know Eric Tan, lived on Sailor Court. He passed away this past weekend, so remember his family. And he was a big contributor to our town in previous years. So just want to say that.
Thank you, Alan. Okay, moving to the approval of the consent agenda. Are there any recommended changes to the consent agenda, or do we accept it as it's written?
I make a motion we accept the
consent
agenda as printed.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the consent agenda items are approved. Adoption of the agenda. Are there any recommended changes to the agenda? Okay, if there are no changes, I'll accept the motion.
I have a motion that we accept the agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, moving to public comment. First on public comment.
I have 8 on the line and I have not received any messages.
Anyone on the line care to address council?
Star 6.
Anybody in the audience care to address council? Okay. Let's move to presentations. Florida Man.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We have a very similar request before us as we reviewed last month. Florida Man is back in wishing to film in the same locations. This month's film date is a little less of an impact. It starts later in the day and they wrap a little earlier in the evening, but other than that, it is very almost identical to last month's production, and everything went very smoothly with last month. So I think they will be moving into town around after 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon.
Please mute your line.
And I will turn it over to them if you have any specific questions regarding the request. They do have signed contracts with the businesses that they are working with, so the Quick Mart and Jack Mackerel's for closing for that day.
Okay. Are there any questions? We have a representative here this evening.
We have three.
Hi.
How you doing? Are there any questions for the...
No.
I have a few easy ones, I'm sure. I think you've... The memo says you've closed out with the town businesses. Okay. Then I guess that I would really only have one, a reminder that we really need to have all the trucks out by 5 a.m. All right. Food deliveries and everything else. So I appreciate that. That was done exceptionally well last time. And I received not one complaint from anyone about your work. So nice job in planning and nice job in execution, my opinion. Anything else from council?
Do you have one question?
Yes, sir.
Do you think you'll be filming in the afternoon, late afternoon, evening of October 12th?
As of this point, we have no intention of coming down to Prairie Beach in the month of October.
Thank you.
Anything else, man? Do you have any questions?
No, we just thank you for your hospitality. Like you said, we think everything went off very well last time. We did put a lot of time and effort and preparation into trying to make it as famous as possible. Coming back is helping us kind of repeat some of the footprints and motions that we did last time, just for a limited amount of hours with a limited amount of stuff. We'll be basing out of Carolina Beach and coming down here to do our filming, okay, and then going back to Carolina Beach. So we'll be bringing less stuff, obviously a presence, but less stuff than we had here last time. And like I said, reduce about an hour, so we'll be gone, you know, in the wee hours of the morning before the sunrise, probably around 1 or 2 a.m.
Okay, thank you. So, do you wish to approve this?
Can I make a motion to approve the permit as presented?
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy your evening.
All right, thank you very much.
You bet.
See
you Wednesday. Weather's getting. Looks like it
might rain. What's that?
70%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the rain date is the 24th.
Yeah.
Okay, next is Cape Fear Change in Motion.
Good evening, Mayor and Council Members. My name is Nick Cannon. I'm the Transportation Demand Management Coordinator with the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. We are a regional transportation organization and provide long-range transportation planning services to member jurisdictions within our region, of which Prairie Beach is one, and Mr. Ellen serves on our board as a representation for this area of the region. We recently have adopted a short-range transportation demand management plan, and I'm presenting to each of our member jurisdictions on that plan for informational purposes. In this presentation, I will go over the purpose of the plan, its development process, the strategies within the plan, the scorecard, and how we implement this plan. I have several slides here, and I will probably be speaking quickly. Again, this is for informational purposes. I brought a hard copy and provided it to staff for you to look at on your own time.
It'll be in the conference room.
But the main purpose is to share this plan and offer opportunities for collaboration with our member jurisdictions. First off, the short-range plan identifies strategies that mitigate traffic congestion and diversified mode use in the WMPO region. So as we are planning long-range for transportation services in the future, we're finding that it's not environmentally or fiscally sustainable to just build road after road and more transportation projects that accommodate more single occupancy vehicles, nor is it healthy or safe. So we do that by, so we attempt to make up for that by encouraging alternative modes of transportation. This plan has a short range life, 1 to 5 years, and the overall goal is to reduce vehicle miles traveled by 10%. I'll just read the mission statement fairly quickly. It's to provide area residents with the resources to offer motivation to choose healthy, sustainable, effective transportation options that reduce stress on the road network and increase alternative means of mobility. To develop this plan, we first convened the Gold Coast Committee and reviewed the transportation demand management element of our long-range plan, which again is a federally mandated plan for the region. That's called K-Care Moving Forward 2045. That was adopted by our board in November. And then we reviewed the survey responses from that public outreach period for that plan, as well as released a survey for the development of this plan. And those survey questions asked how people get around now versus how they would like to get around in the future, specifically when it pertains to biking, walking, public transportation, carpooling, vanpooling, et cetera. We then had a public comment period for this plan and then prioritized the strategies. Here's a quick slide that has some responses from the communities, community members from the survey that we released. This, again, is in that plan, so if you would like to look at it further on your own time, you are more than welcome to. But it basically just showed, compared how people get around now using alternative modes of transportation, overall, generally, the population would like to utilize those modes more than they currently do. I have a slide for each of these strategies. I'll go through them. They are alternative work schedules, a bike share program, carpooling and vanpooling, consulting for telecommuting opportunities, fostering a bicycle pedestrian-friendly culture, improved transportation demand management, TDM-focused collaboration, and personalized commuter plans. And I'll kind of breeze through these, but let me know if you'd like me to elaborate any further on any of them. First, alternative work schedules are, it provides a variety of scheduling options for employees in the region, and that would include staggered work shifts, flex time, compressed work weeks. So, for example, maybe a major employer in the area would have a third of their workforce coming in at 7, leaving at 4, a third working the traditional 8 to 5, and another third coming in at 7 or 9, leaving at 6. And this would mitigate traffic specifically during peak congestion hours. It would reduce commuting trips. We have learned through COVID-19 that people might be more hesitant to share close quarters with people who they do not interact with. We have seen that this may discourage carpooling and vanpooling, and it may be difficult to gather accurate data. But this can be driven through education, outreach, and promotion to our major area employers, which we have a relationship with a number of those. For a bike share program, the city of Wilmington is the only member jurisdiction who has shown interest in a bike share program. But this is a service that provides bikes that are available to individuals on a very short-term basis for very short trips. This reduces the need for single-occupancy vehicles. It's healthy, safe, good for the economy, good for tourism. We would need to identify funding sources, but this can be implemented in Wilmington first, and then if the member jurisdiction did want to implement a bike share program, in their area, we are happy to assist with that. Yes, Mr. Allen.
We call that a challenge to find a funding source. I know there are many cities, particularly north of here, Maryland, D.C. area, Virginia, that companies come in and do that. And I don't think the towns are funding that, to my knowledge.
Yeah, that's a great point. There are different vendors that have different business models for how they would like to fund a bike share program in whichever region they are in. In larger cities, it is easier to, in my experience, it's easier to get some of that financial support from larger businesses and companies in the region and then offset those funds through ridership. It has been more challenging in more mid-sized cities. So that's a challenge that we have faced, but there are a myriad of different business models that some of these vendors have, and we would explore based off the responses from the RFP whenever that's released.
Do you know whether or not any company has approached the Wilmington Council or the county supervisors with a proposal to
At this time, I'm not aware that any business has approached leadership for that. Thank you for the questions. Carpooling and vanpooling creates opportunities for people to share rides when going coming from nearby locations. This reduces traffic, it reduces the demand for parking, it may limit flexibility when people come and go from work, and as I was saying before, with COVID-19, people might be a little more hesitant to share a car with people. But we have an application called Share the Ride NC from our partners at the DOT, and that provides matching for individuals who might be seeking a carpool friend. And then we also have park and ride lots, and then wave pool opportunities for van pooling for our major area employers who have multiple employees coming and going from the similar locations. Consulting for telecommuting is a fairly new concept, but this is a service that GoCo provides and assists area employers in developing telecommuting policies and programs for their employees. This is free to businesses. It reduces the need for parking infrastructure, and with COVID-19, a lot of us have seen how easy it is for us to telecommute at least part of the week. Like I said, this is a new program starting from scratch, so we need to connect with some area employers, but this can be offered for no cost and with no obligation. We're happy to assist small businesses, large business, medium size, public organizations, private, with developing these programs and policies. Fostering a bicycle and pedestrian friendly culture was the number one strategy that was identified in this plan. The public does see a major need to kind of change the culture and how we think about individuals who bike and walk. For this strategy, it increases safety for bicycles and pedestrians. It gives authority to biking and walking as legitimate modes of transportation. It reduces injuries and fatalities, which of course is great. It promotes culture and public spaces and provides opportunity for educating everyone whether or not you bike or walk regularly. Challenges, of course, are speeding and distracted driving and lack of infrastructure in some areas. For this strategy, we can apply it by participating in programs like the Looker, Watching and See, Vision Zero, like we already do, and then holding successful bicycle-oriented events.
One question on this. Is there any strategy to direct bicycle riders or walkers away from high density traffic areas? Because right now we're talking about River Road reducing speed limit, and there's probably 18,000 cars a day. I don't know how many bicyclists there are, but there certainly aren't that many. So I just wondered if you guys are actively engaged in diverting and preparing good, safe lines for transportation with bicycles?
Yeah, that's a great question. Generally speaking, through participating in programs like the Looker and Watch Bring and See, that educates the public on how to be a smart cyclist and maybe cycling where you feel comfortable and where you know there are going to be the least amount of cars. We also develop which we are in the process of updating now, a bicycle suitability map, which rates over 200 roadways in the area based off their bicycle friendliness, including speed, number of vehicles, and a few other factors. But that is absolutely a component we can highlight in some of these aspects of these existing programs and services that we offer to especially say, think about this when you are walking and biking, think about this specific aspect of your travel whenever you are utilizing your bicycle in your transportation choice. Well,
thank you for that. I was not aware of the friendliness rating.
Yeah, we've only had one rendition of that map, yeah. And we're updating it right now, but that will be publicized heavily to all of our.
And I think that'll be important.
It's a regional map. It's very large, takes a long time. We have a lot of cooperation, but we'll let you know when that's available.
Okay, thanks.
TDM-focused collaboration improves collaboration among WMPO staff, GoCo staff, myself, and our member jurisdiction staff. So we recognize that there at times have been a discourse in letting our member jurisdictions know what is available as far as TDM-oriented services. This will increase applied TDM strategies of this plan that are actually implemented in the region and will increase advocation for more multimodal infrastructure, which of course is imperative in individuals actually using multimodal travel. This is just an increased responsibility of the WMPO. We're happy to do it. But this can be applied through improved collaboration and coordination with our member jurisdiction planning staff. Personalized commuter plans are catered plans that provide recommended ways for people to get around in ways other than a single occupancy vehicle. So if someone contacts us and they say, I want to learn how to ride the bus, or I would like to bike to work 2 days a week, help me find a safe route for biking, we're here for that. So this introduces individuals to TDM strategies and alternative transportation options, and it of course promotes the facilities that we are building in the region. We have to collect personal information to help people get from point A to point B, but this can be offered to anyone living or working in the WMPO region. The big takeaway from this presentation, and I love the questions so far, the big takeaway is that this, although we are very proud of this plan, it's not an exhaustive list, these seven strategies. If there's anything else that your town wants to see done pertaining to TDM-oriented services, whether that be increased information and marketing, assistance with developing ordinances, or developing comprehensive plans and programs, we are here to assist with that as well. We want to see this plan successful, but we also know that the initiatives and the priorities of your town are not the same as all the other municipalities in our region. So this is the big takeaway from this presentation, that we're proud of this plan and we're happy with it, but if there's anything else you'd like to see, we are down to help out. Just let us know. I'll go through these next slides pretty quickly. There's a scorecard in this plan. Every strategy was put into one of two categories, primary priority or secondary priority, and they were scored off ease of implementation, cost, existing conditions, the demand to see these strategies fulfilled, their impact on traffic, and their impact on vehicle miles traveled. First step to implement this plan was adoption by the WMPO board, which was done in April. I'm now presenting to each of our member jurisdictions, and for the next 5 years, we adhere to this plan and to the strategies work plan within this plan. And that includes advice and ways to measure how successful we are in marketing and outreach, establishing relationships with our major partners, holding events, collecting data, and whatnot. And of course, this plan will be reviewed regularly by our GoCoast committee and presented to regularly to the WMPO board. I know that was a lot. Again, I'm here to answer questions either at this time or at a later date, but that is my presentation. I'll entertain any questions.
Any questions from those on the phone? No? Obviously, this is an important piece of work, and it is a good piece of work. There are other things that we do have to consider and look for. How do we improve our roads and et cetera, et cetera? But I mean, this is good for maybe we can get a few cars off the road.
Well, Mayor, our timing is good. You know, we have a planning grant through WMVO for Foxer today.
Yes.
So that's getting ready to kick off. And having a start meeting next month, mm-hmm. and that all to do it. So this information is very helpful.
Wonderful. Okay, well, I thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Next, we have the Cape Fear Kite Festival. Carrie Jones, nice to meet you. Yes, to hear better. Welcome, Steve. It's good to see you.
Mayor, Councilman, thank you all for allowing us to visit with you tonight. We're well aware that earlier in the year, we came to you for funding for a couple of projects with the Chamber of Commerce for our island, and you all made your decision at that time. At this particular time, there have been, as you some are aware, and Councilman Ellen obviously is an ex officio of our board, is very well aware of the transitions that have been made at the Chamber of Commerce, and it's significantly a different organization than it was early in the year. And so we wanted to take this opportunity to let Carrie, who also lives in Carrie Beach, give her an opportunity to tell you a little bit about the Kite Festival, mm-hmm. the differences, and what we have to look forward to here as a community coming up here in November. But also just to share with you and answer any questions that you might have for the board of directors at the Chamber of Commerce, which we, you know, we're pretty transparent. Anything you have, anything on your mind, we want to answer it. We want to address it. We made 42 calls last week on our local businesses and on the island, and to get input on what they like, what they don't like, and we'll be doing this on a week, and have been doing this on a weekly basis. Not 42. That's the best week yet. I'm using my best yet. But on a regular basis, we're talking to a lot of our business owners and asking them for input. What is it they'd like to see? What is it they want? How can we help them? And over the last 3 months, 4 months, we're seeing membership rise dramatically. I want to thank you all for funding the free concerts in the park. I don't know how many of you all have been there. I've been to every one of them, and they have been like off the chart successful. I mean, we've had 400, 500, 600 people in attendance due to the changes I think we made. We have more food trucks there. Alcohol sales are there. Of course, that's by Fort Fisher. Mm-hmm. We made it, I think, a bit more friendly, and we've got the word out that Kerry Beach is funding this and is completely behind this. So thank you for that. Thank you for funding the last two, kind of bump your budget up just a bit to help us fund all six of them. And we couldn't have done them, so you all came to that, and we just so appreciate that. I think the community, last Friday, a week ago, I was talking to a couple that were down and heard about it, and they were from Virginia Beach, and they couldn't quit talking. I couldn't shake them. They were just so excited to think that there was a free concert going on in our community while they're on vacation, courtesy of Pure Beach. So thank you for that. So with that, I'm going to leave some upcoming events for the chamber with you all. And now I'm going to turn it over to my sidekick who really can wow you about this cotton festival. It's all you.
Okay.
Well, I would tell you, you're both welcome here as members of the chamber, and especially welcome as both residents of the town.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to come speak with you about this spectacular event that's very one of a kind to our island. If you don't know, this festival has actually been in existence for about 15 years. The chamber just recently purchased it from their prior organizers, Michael and Judy Agner, as you can see right here. Mike and Judy have their big kite flyers, added flyers. They've traveled all over the world with their kites. And they have several kites in their possession. You can see right here, this is their large squid, but they also have a giant octopus and a 40 by 100 foot manta ray and a 65 foot caterpillar, among many, many others. They are still guiding us and helping us this year, making sure that we're on board with how this kite flying works. I've learned more about kite flying in the past few weeks than I ever imagined I would. It's quite a science, and we're grateful to have their guidance. This is for the flow of the event that we're thinking about this year. It's really a three-day event. The flyers will come in on Friday night. And graciously, the Courtyard by Marriott continues to be our host hotel, and we will welcome them in as our very important flyers, our VIFs, that evening. I have a nice registration, some photos, meet and greet, and then we'll be going into the banquet and having some hors d'oeuvres, some cocktails, and getting a chance for the town to meet these flyers, also giving a chance for the board members to meet the flyers. Sorry, that was just like right in my view. Next day, getting up, having a nice breakfast at the hotel, and then they'll be heading out to the Fort Fisher State Recreation Center and setting up their large kites that will go all along the beach. If you guys have not seen it, it's really pretty amazing. They line all the way along the beach there. If you wouldn't mind switching it, sorry, thank you, to the next map. As you can see, we're hoping to expand the parking lot area of the State Recreation Center. The state has given us permission to expand it.
We hope to have more food trucks along here. We also are going to be joined by the AKA, the American Kite Association, is going to be joining us this year, and we hope to do a kite making workshop right next to them, where the kids can actually make a kite and then they can fly it in this area. They can't fly it out on the beach because it does interact with the large kites, and it's a safety issue, but we can provide some area in here for them to fly the kites. We also hope to have possibly a beer tent or a brewery there, as I said, along with our food trucks. I'm also trying to get a lemonade stand, maybe a smoothie stand, and then hoping to provide some entertainment, so some bands and some, you know, stage with some bands going on as well. So making this a much larger event than it has been in the past. We were imagining the food trucks would arrive about 11 o'clock, along with all the other activities and attractions, and we would be wrapping it up about 3:30. And the flyers actually stopped flying around 4 o'clock. We find this as an incredible opportunity to not only brand the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce, but also this town. As I said, this is unique to our island. There's only a few other kite festivals in the state of North Carolina. We plan to grow this to make it a very large festival. As you know, the Azalea Festival, and you've heard now the Beach Music Festival, which was a huge event for us just this past year. We hope to grow this event as large as those events. And we're heading that direction. How do we do this? We're hoping to have street banners on the poles coming into town saying Cape Fear Kite Festival. We're hoping to take around flags to all the local businesses and gain support by saying just a small fee, buying a flag, and it says proud supporter of the Cape Fear Kite Festival. Imagine those flags as you're driving into town, seeing them all through town. That'd be quite a sight. We also want to promote this as a destination event where people are actually traveling here from other parts and coming and staying two nights in a hotel. The Courtyard by Marriott has offered $105 a night for spectators. You can come in on a Friday night, possibly have an evening cruise with Island Charters, enjoy a discounted dinner at possibly Jack Mackerel's, enjoy your evening. Saturday morning, you're getting up and seeing the kites, seeing some attractions that day, the next day, making it a different day of attractions. So really utilizing the long weekend there and getting as many businesses as we can involved in this whole experience. We are also trying to really engage the media with this time. We are already talked to WCT, WWAY, about getting on some of their programs, Cape Fear Weekend. We're hoping to also do some ads in Charlotte and in Raleigh, so WRAL, UNC Charlotte TV, all things we plan to do this year to really grow this festival to make it larger than it's been. I would like to show the growth of when the Chamber took on their social media, just their Facebook page, not too long ago, and just in 1 week we were able to reach these amount of people, almost 10,000 people. We had 233 new page likes. Now, when I started this, I said, I hope to grow this platform by 5,000 by the time this is ended. I'm already almost up to 5,000 in just a few short weeks. So just a matter of having the Chamber involved and getting the awareness out there, we're already really growing this event. People love this event. So we feel great about that. We know it's going to continue to get larger and larger, and I actually feel like we can get close to 10,000 by the end of this year. I've built a Instagram page. We're also tweeting this, so we're focused on getting the word out. Who doesn't love kites? It's a family affair, and we're trying to grow it and make it as big as possible, family friendly, something for everybody to come and enjoy the weekend here. Has everybody been to it? Has anybody not seen the kite festival? No, you haven't?
I haven't. Saw it a few years
ago. Well, you're in for a treat. It is quite a sight to see, and we just hope that we can get you all out there and supporting the event. Thank you very much for your time. Any questions for me?
So what's your parking plan?
That's a good question.
If you get 5,000 people to drive down there, there's parking spaces for about 650, and you're putting tents up, so where are they going to park?
We have permission from the aquarium to use their overflow parking. We also have permission from the state to allow parking on one side of the road. We have permission to use the area across from, beside the Fort Fisher.
The empty field there?
Yes.
And we, if it comes to that, then we're going to have shuttles back and forth to the
from the base.
To the base. So you've talked to the base as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So how many do you think you get if you do all that? I have my idea, I'm just asking you first, right?
In a bit like this, it flows. There's not 5,000 people there at one time, so we're feeling pretty comfortable. We're actually be providing more than they probably have had in the past, especially with the base.
I'm just saying if you counted, because I'll tell you that's under about 2,000 spots. And that's it, right?
Well, in over a two-day period, if we get 5,000, we're not too far from those numbers.
I'm just asking. I mean, you're aggressively marketing. I just want to make sure you've thought
we're
about...
We're aggressively thinking parking.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yep. And we'll be coming to you asking if we can hire off-duty police officers that direct traffic for the first time that they've never had before.
Yeah. I think our chief is going to say go to the sheriff's department. That's what he did for all the other stuff.
Yes, I will have manpower.
Okay.
The sheriff's department has been so
and
far
it's
good.
It's in their jurisdiction, okay. Too, but we just don't have the manpower to do it. I wish we did, but I'm glad we know that.
Thank you.
So we were looking at that. Actually, probably one of our first conversations was parking. Mm-hmm. You know, when I have my two grandchildren trying to cross the street, I'm like scared to death.
Yep.
So, no, I get that completely. And that's one of our very first conversations, and that's why we've been working on that
Because I saw from the website in 2018, they said they had 13,000 people down there, and I remember what it was like down there in 2018, so that's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
And if you top that, there's going to be a problem, I think, just so you know.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We do think this is going to be very quickly. So we knew nothing about kites. We got into kite business. I'm in Astoria, Washington, visiting our son, and there's the World Kite Museum. Knew nothing about it. They knew there was a kite museum. They have a 10,000 people kite festival, and went in and just started picking their brains. Then we started talking to AKA, who has been super helpful in helping us through lots of the journey here. And Carrie has just done an amazing job with publicizing and making this a professional festival and not just a complier type thing. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't be more excited about this. We, of course, us both being Curie Beach residents, we see this as a Curie Beach event. And we come to you, would love for you to reconsider some funding. We understand if you don't see the merit and the value to this, but we think that it's going to be an amazing event for our community here.
Steve, have you talked to the TDA, Tourism Development Authority, about their support?
We have a meeting with them Wednesday.
Okay.
Since we somehow got on that marketing committee.
That kind of gives you the door to them, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I have a meeting with them on Wednesday, so yes, sir, that's what I'll be speaking about.
Have you notified Matsu at all about the plan? You're going to have a lot of airborne things that may come loose.
We have not, to answer your question.
I just wonder if it would be good just to let them know that event will be there.
The state park is aware of it. We have our permits already in hand. So the state is aware of it. We have not contacted them particularly.
And I'm not saying it's a big deal. It just may prevent the MPs from showing up.
Absolutely.
I think they'd be more worried about the mass of people there than the kites.
But it's far enough away.
It looks like they have concerns about the CDB and Jazz Festival back in the day.
Yeah. But we would ask for your reconsideration. Truly, our organization is different than it was a few months ago. And would any of you all are welcome. We'd love for you to start coming to, when you can. Any of our we have at Jack Mackrell's, we have a business after hours coming up. Your free concerts. Friday night, this Friday night is the last one, mm-hmm. the sixth that you all will pay for. And it's a bluegrass, it's supposed to be a really, really great concert. So we would certainly invite and encourage you all to come to any of these things, because so far they've really gone quite well. Mm-hmm. So thank you all again for your consideration.
And for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilman Allen, for your support.
Yes, thank you.
And coming to all our meetings and taking it all in. Thank you.
Committee business, Biped Committee.
Nothing to report. I don't have those on the call.
Community Center Committee. Community Center met. They are taking a look at a variety of other activities that they would like to get involved with. They no longer wish to be considered just the town barbecue committee. But there's a lot of new members and quite a ways to go. So they're looking at options. Historical Preservation Commission.
These are the text amendments we had the legislative
hearing. Attorney Eldridge, I believe the first item on the agenda is for council to interview. Sorry. I know you're excited.
It's a moment tonight, man. Virgo and Pisces.
Okay.
Nailed me.
Okay. So the item before us now is the interview of Gary
Glossop.
For the full member vacancy.
That's Gary's.
Okay. All right. I took the opportunity, as I should, to read your application. And it looks like you've got a strong background in history. And I would have one question. Right now it appears that you have two locations that you would call your residence. One here in Curie Beach, I believe, and one in West Virginia or Maryland?
It's in Maryland.
Oh, in Maryland. Now, which is your primary residence right now? Which is your primary residence right at this point?
Mr. Glossop, you've muted yourself. If you could unmute.
Okay, there we go. Is that good?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, according to my driver's license, I'm a North Carolina resident. We spent a little bit more than half the year in Curie Beach, and we still have doctors and things up here. So, in fact, that's where I am right now, in Maryland.
Okay. All right. But so you have a North Carolina driver's license. Do you have, I guess, your plan is to some point in time be a full-time resident down here?
Mine is, yes. We do have one compelling issue up in Maryland is my youngest son, his wife, and three grandsons still live in Montgomery County. So we will still spend some time up here, but I spend all year in Curie Beach if I could.
Okay. I mean, that is about the best reason you could have to maintain a residence up there. So.
Yes.
Okay. I looked at the So your view on this role, you're concerned about the historical significance of the buildings. I don't know if you really had an opportunity to read through what the Historical Commission is about relative to the buildings, etc.
I have not.
Okay.
It was my understanding that the way it was described to me is the general gist of this committee would be to maintain the nature of Curie Beach as being a family-oriented beach community and to recognize the historic assets that we have in the area to make sure that they don't go away.
Okay. It is also a semi-judicial type committee whereby there are approvals and actions that require review and approval by the committee. Are you prepared to take those positions?
I had one question about that. And based on your answer, yes. I got the impression that the committee could have, I'll simplify it, it could have veto rights over certain structures being built in the town. My question was, would those veto rights be based on statutory authority, or is it just all the opinion of the committee?
Can you take that?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Mr. Glossop, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm the town attorney for Curie Beach. Just a little bit of background information. The Historic Preservation Commission exists on its own to conduct business appropriate to it as delegated and authorized by the general statutes of the state. One of those duties and responsibilities concerns historic preservation. Your answer was correct, but it can be refined even more so by understanding that recently the town council established the historic preservation overlay district for the downtown part of Curie Beach, the commercial district. And the veto power that you referred to is actually the result of an application process, again pursuant to general statutes from the state, where either in a minor way, which is administratively handled, or in a major way, which the committee addresses, any changes to any exterior features within that district has to receive approval, the test being whether the proposed changes are compatible and consistent with the rest of the neighborhood. As I mentioned, the major applications for major work or major changes are handled by the commission through a quasi-judicial hearing where the applicant appears and presents evidence to show that they have met their burden of their changes, the proposed changes being consistent with the look and feel of that neighborhood. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I would say so. The reason it came up to me, if you're familiar with Fort Fisher Boulevard, which I'm sure you're familiar with, south of the stoplight on the left, there is one house that really stands out as not being a beach house. And my question basically centered around, if an application to build another house like that in another part of town were to come up, would the committee have grounds to say no, it really doesn't fit in with the town?
Again, my references to applications needing approval for minor or major work are confined to the B1 district, which is now a historic overlay district. The boundaries are set forth in the
Town Code, Chapter 15, I believe. But the point you make is interesting because the test that would be utilized to consider the appropriateness of any changes within that limited district, the B1 district, nowhere else in town does the Historic Preservation Commission have that authority to decide applications, is limited to that B1 district. But the test is probably best illustrated in the following examples. An applicant comes in and wants to build whatever house you were referring to within the B1 district. The standards that the commission would have to apply is whether those proposed changes, again illustrated by the house you were referencing or the residence that you were referencing, would that be compatible within the neighborhood established in the B1 district. But it's only in that district that these applications are decided along the lines that I've discussed.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Commissioners, you have any questions for Mr. Glossop?
I do not.
I do not.
No.
I have a license on being a Virginia tech president. I hear you.
Alan?
No questions.
No other questions? Do you have any other questions, Mr. Glossop?
I do not.
Okay.
I make a motion we approve the application of Mr. Glossop to be the alternate on the...
Did you want to check on meeting attendance?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Did you want to check on meeting attendance, and he's not going to be an alternate?
He's a full member. Okay. Mr. Glossop, the question that was asked was, do you think you'll have any problem making the majority of the meetings in person? So
I certainly hope not.
Yeah, we heard they're monthly, so just would you be able to plan your travel around so you could make the majority of the meetings in person?
I would try as much as I could, yes. And part of the restriction on it is, I'm 71 at this point, and I do have doctors, and they're all up here, and sometimes I have an appointment and I've got to go back in a week, so that's not frequent.
Yes, sir, I understand. I have no further questions.
Okay, no further questions. Joseph?
I make a motion we approve the application for Mr. Glossop as a permanent member of the HPC committee.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Congratulations, Mr. Glossop. You are a member in standing of this commission.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, you might want to inform him that the next meeting is October the 13th at 6 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
Okay, would you...
What was that again?
Next meeting.
Mr. Glossop might want to be informed that the next meeting will begin at 5 o'clock on October 13th.
Yes, sir. Our next meeting is on October 13th, and we will have... It's at 5 p.m. and we will have quasi-judicial training with the Council of Government, so that will be an important meeting to attend.
Did you hear that, Mr. Clausen?
You're on
the line. Yes, I did.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for your interest, and we'll look forward to your participation. Okay, moving on, Counselor.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Is it okay if I go?
Yeah.
So these are the same amendments you looked at during the legislative hearing. essentially they dropped the membership requirement, which actually I think you proved before, but more to the point, they dropped the alternate member requirement. And there's only one page of those amendments, and they're primarily strike through eliminating that alternate member requirement. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Reading through it, it was pretty
pretty
clear, pretty right, very clear. I don't know if the others have questions or not.
Staff recommends that you consider a motion to approve these text amendments.
I make a motion we approve proposed text amendment to KBC 12.04.030.A, composition of HPC.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Jim.
The next item on the agenda is amending the Historic Preservation Commission's rules of procedure. It simply tracks what you just approved. The rules of procedure also provided for alternate members, and we're just making that consistent with the text amendments you just approved. So again, staff's recommendation is to consider a motion adopting these changes to the rules of procedure. Council is the responsible body for this commission's rules. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
I make a motion we approve amendment to HPC rules of procedure, Article 3.
Second.
Any further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you, Council.
Thank you. Thank you, staff. Land Use Committee.
We had our meeting. We went through Chapter 3 of our amending our existing land use plan and updating it. We are right on schedule where we need to be to have everything done in a timely manner. And looking at our next public hearing in February, right? February, yeah. The chapters 3, 4, and 5 are fully done by then.
Okay.
We're looking good. Council Government's doing a great job helping us.
Good. Good. Marketing Committee?
No update.
Parking Committee? Parking ends at the end of this month. To date, we have revenue of approximately $703,000 and 53,000 visitors. Now, that is not a net number. That is a total number at this point in time, with approximately 2 weeks remaining. So we have met as a parking. The staff has met to tell us what they thought went well, what did not go well. I met with the parking committee. We had the same meeting. And we'll have a meeting during the week of October 4th with Premium to go over what worked and what do we need to improve for next year. But I think, by and large, it was very much a successful first year, a good opening, and the town should be able to work on some of the necessities necessary to keep us beautiful and attractive to our guests. Planning and zoning. Okay, Shoreline Access and Beach Committee. Dennis, I don't know if you're on. Any report from liaison?
We will be doing a final inspection of all the signage to see what has disappeared. A couple of things have already disappeared, probably in someone's garage. And so we can tally that to have it all ready for the spring.
Okay. Stormwater Committee.
So we met for September. We're still waiting on the state to approve our plan for our permit. We're operating under a temporary permit for the town. The Stormwater Committee in October and November will be looking at mapping of the whole town to delineate where all the sub-permits for all the ponds actually cover. So getting that in one built map that we can then have to discuss potential changes to stormwater as we look at requests. So right now, Public Works has 5 properties that have issues that they've requested us investigate. So Public Works is taking basically elevations and then to see what we can do to address those. Benfish was one that a couple of commissioners had sent us information on. We're looking at how we would come back to that that ditch that ends up going back to the river, and then on 4th Avenue and a couple of properties south of K Avenue. So.
Okay. Moving on to department head business, administration.
I have 2 things, and I'm bringing these up a little bit early because I won't be here for the October meeting. The first thing is employee appreciation. Last year, we postponed it until spring because of COVID. That event went pretty well. Everyone seemed to enjoy it. So I would like to do that again this year since we are still dealing with COVID, and it will help us to go ahead and plan. So with that being said, I would still like to close for the day before Thanksgiving like we usually do. And go ahead and let staff have that day off, and then we'll do our luncheon in the spring. If everyone's okay with that.
Can you put that on the agenda for October, and then we'll just approve it in October? Yeah, okay. Beth, yeah, people.
Okay,
will.
Okay.
That way it can be on the consent agenda, but that way people can read it and give us feedback.
Okay.
Yeah, I would put it on consent.
I'm certainly in favor, but I just think the process is we should put it out there so people can read it. I've never heard anybody have an issue with that in all the years on council.
All right. And then the second thing is our town council organizational meeting for your swearing in. I'm proposing that this year we do it maybe at the community center.
That's fine.
At the clubhouse.
Oh, okay. You're talking about after.
You're after.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone's okay with that.
I don't have any issues with that. I mean, it's a little bit of a way for people to get down there. It's not quite as easy as next door, but it is a town facility, and it's probably regard, it's smarter.
And that's after the December meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, if we followed our process, would be December the 20th, but I would assume we'll move that to the week before.
I'm just looking at the calendar,
right?
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to get it out there, get you guys thinking about it.
Yeah. I don't think it'd be a problem. Unless anybody else thinks it's a problem.
I'm with you.
All right.
We have a class there.
Yeah, every weeknight.
Monday night?
Okay. Well, we'll look at that and see what's going on there and see if it'll be a problem to cancel the class.
Right.
So,
okay.
That's all I have.
Is that it? Thank you, Mandy. Building Inspections Department. John.
Yes, sir. What you have in front of you is a proposed estimate for Chapter 15. Section is 15.36.010. Tony Garibay from Planning and Zoning is here also to comment in case you guys want to hear about this, but I'm going to give you a little bit of a background on it. First of all, I get asked on a daily basis what can go in and out of setbacks constantly. And we brought these types of issues to Planning and Zoning in the past, and Planning and Zoning has overwhelmingly always voted to keep things the way they were. That's why you haven't seen too many of these come up in the past. This was a little unique. In corner lots and residential districts, you have a minor thoroughfare and a major thoroughfare. So the narrower side of the lot is always considered the front, so that would be your major thoroughfare. your side road there, you have a 10-foot side setback. The difference for that corner lot is that all other lots and residential districts have 5-foot side setbacks. So in a way, a corner lot has more restrictive setbacks than any other lot. This particular homeowner came to me and asked about putting this generator there, and didn't understand why the need, why there was a need for the 10-foot side setback. Voiced her opinion, thought it was pretty well formulated opinion, and mentioned to her the text amendment process and, you know, other various administrative procedures that are available. Ultimately, I mentioned the complaint or the concern to our P&Z chairman, and he voted to just put it on the agenda. So it came onto the agenda. I had actually introduced language that the property owner presented and edited it a little bit. They commented, we changed a few things around, and what you see in front of you is what P&Z has proposed and voted on. And there are actually, I believe the town attorney prepared consistency of statements for such, either way you guys want to get it. So, text amendment reads that any building or other structure requiring a building permit should not be permitted in the setback area with the exception of the following items. This is a whole new section. It's section F. Whole house generators, HVAC units, and propane tanks no taller than 6 feet within 5 feet of the structure served when in the required 10-foot side yard of a corner lot. And I'm happy to take any questions you may have.
Good.
It's good. Do we need a motion?
Yeah. I make a motion we approve as presented and approve the consistency statement with a pro.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay. 4-1.
I have nothing else.
Thank you.
Let's ask some questions.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Finance department. Anything? Okay. Other than the reports that each of the departments provide on the agenda packages, if people are listening, they can certainly look at those reports to define where we sit on a variety of issues. Fire department. Ed had to leave for his meeting. Police department.
Nothing, sir.
Okay. Public Works Department. I did notice that we pumped 2 million less gallons of water last month than the previous month, but I also noticed that we had 215 tons of garbage. So that's pretty significant.
Yeah, probably a water more.
Good afternoon.
There's Jimmy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we can hear you, Jimmy.
All right, thank you. First and foremost, I'd like to apologize for not being there this afternoon. It's kind of out of my control, but there's a couple of updates I'd like to give council this afternoon. First of all, it's the asphalt paving. We have a contract signed this week, so the contract will be giving me schedules for what roads that they'll be doing. More likely it's going to be probably in the middle of the fall. This particular project, we pretty much had to
a bid process, a formal bid process, Jim?
Thank you very much. Yes, bid process. Yeah, that's the informal bid process. I did reach out to a couple of other contractors, and they come up and sent me an email saying that that scope of type and scope of work was too big for their company to do. So we finally got settled down with another company this year, and like I said, we got a contract signed this week. So I'll give council an update on when we'll actually get started, and that way we can let the residents know what roads and stuff that we'll be working on first.
Okay, any questions for Jimmy?
Jimmy, between you and Arlen, can you just send that to council so we can review the contract so we understand it?
Yes, sir, I sure will.
And copy the
agenda. And also, yes, sir, I sure will.
Thank you.
And also, I want to give a pen page from Mississippi that has talked to a contractor. Me and Ian and Brad have came up with the scope of work, and I went with a contractor to possibly install some storm drains. I'm still working on the numbers, stuff like that. The contract hasn't got back to me yet on it, but I'll give council an update on it in the October.
Okay, thank you, Jimmy.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good night.
Good night. Old business.
Recreation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nothing.
Nikki, nothing? Okay, thank you. Because we kind of covered it earlier.
Right.
Old business. The Bald Head Island resolution opposing the issuance of wind energy leases within 24 miles of North Carolina shores. If you read through their resolution, a lot of it ties around old Baldy, things like that. They also reference that Virginia has a 35-mile window. Other people have a 24-mile window. Why do they have a 12-mile window? The question is, for us, not necessarily that we share precisely what they're after. Do we wish to take a look and work on a resolution for our beliefs on whether or not there should be wind generators and how close they should be to the beach?
I think we do. So, I mean, I sent to council when this came up last month, detailed studies. I tend to agree with Baldhead that 10 miles based on the size of wind generators that are being built now is too close. 10 miles is too close. I think 24 miles is much more realistic, and I think that's why, as Baldhead points out, Norfolk and other places have got those distances in. If you look at what you can actually see from the beach, 10 miles out, you can see a 600-foot tall mm-hmm. wind generator. And when they put 40 of them together, you can really see it. And if you don't believe that, just go to the beach on a clear day and look to Riceville Beach, which is about 13 miles away, I think, if I remember that, right? And you can see the hotels on a clear day. So, I mean, it's pretty straight math. I don't know what the right answer is, but I think we should have a position on it and we should communicate it. I mean, I'm a firm believer we should be supporting wind energy, but there's a place and not a place, and the close-in lease area that's identified right now on the west side is much closer than where I think it should be for Curie Beach, in my opinion. And you don't have to be in the top of the tallest house in Curie Beach to be able to see it. You'll see it on the beach, and it'll cover a pretty big swath, I believe, from what I read. I want to send. So,
well,
I'd be in favor of it if more commissioners are, that we write some type of position and identify whether it's 24 miles or what. I don't know exactly, but something other than just how it is right now.
Okay. Actually, what you gave us showed 15-mile views from standing,
right.
And they were European views, but 15 miles is 15 miles, and they looked,
sure.
They looked pretty industrial. So I'm in favor of working with staff to develop something to identify our position.
That's two. Is anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to come up with our own position,
right.
and for our own reasons, and definitely have a position. The town needs to have a position.
Right. And I'll be glad to work with you, Craig, if you
okay.
want to be us,
sure.
If council's okay with that, to bring it back next month.
So do you have consensus on that point?
Yes.
Gentlemen, we'll come back next month with some position.
Yeah, fine.
Joseph, speak your mind.
I don't agree with it, but it'll pass.
You don't agree with what, Joe?
You go to California, you see windmills, you see oil rigs, you see it off the Gulf Coast.
You don't have an issue with sailing?
No. Yeah. I think they'd be quite tranquil, actually.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we'll come up with something, and you will have an opportunity to speak your mind.
Well, you know, he's sinking an oil rig, so.
Okay. I agree with that. I'm not opposed to them. I think that you can do both, right? I mean,
would it be ideal? No, but I mean, at some point we have to.
You're right.
Combine sacrifice.
And I agree.
Everybody has to suck it up.
Just so, not in Virginia at 35 miles or at Nag's Head at 24 miles, or what? Okay, I'm teasing you now, but that is the point. The point is not opposing wind generation. The point is that there are places that are more amenable to the population.
$2 million homes don't want to see them off their beach. Let's just cut to the chase.
Well, I don't have a $2 million home, and I don't necessarily want to.
Yeah, my home's not that expensive.
I don't think that's the whole point.
I'm talking about this.
Well, this is, they identified an issue, and now that council knows about it, we should at least look at it and do a similar thing for Curie Beach.
Okay. All right. So we have consensus to go ahead, and we will work on something to bring back to council, and we can debate it. New business? We're not showing any new business right now. Therefore, we're going to move into updates. Mayor updates. I have been thinking a lot recently about fine work that Joseph and the Land Use Committee have done relative to the input on our survey. I've been thinking about the way that this town will not grow. From a perspective of north, south, east, or west, we are not going to grow. So what we have in space is what we have. And the most important thing we can do is control the space we have by planning and zoning and beautification where possible to keep this place the premium, in my opinion, the premium beach in North Carolina, and frankly, I'll just say on the East Coast. That should be our goal anyway. So my thought is, as we look at the remaining open spaces, there are not many contiguous open spaces. But I think most towns, most good, nice towns, have green spaces. And I would like council's consensus to allow me to work with administration and staff and come up with a few ideas for green spaces for our town. As more and more of these spaces close, we will lose that opportunity. Therefore, in an effort to keep us beautiful, are there places we can develop green? Are there contiguous areas of land? Are there like H Avenue, we have the split in the street and other areas. We've got public property around water towers. We've got public property at pump houses. Now, there are rules around a lot of things, but I think we need to look at what we have and how would we make it beautifully green by that usable space, whether it be a bench, whether it be, I don't know, a pavilion. I think it's something I would like to look at. And I would like your consensus to do it. And then, of course, whatever is brought forward, you can all have an opinion on. But I think green space, according to that survey, and according to the beauty we want to keep in this town, is important. Any comments on that?
I support you working with staff. We already had people come at the last meeting to talk about identifying public areas where they could plant indigenous trees. So there's someone that, once we identify spaces, I think at that meeting we said we should go off and identify those. So, I support that. I don't know that I'd support us buying private property and converting it, because there's not that much there. We've already bought the park. We own some other lots that we have to figure out what we're going to do with, and we definitely should invest in the area around Public Works where that parking area is. But yeah, I mean, I support identifying that.
Okay.
That's a reasonable thing to do. Yep. Glad you want to work on it.
So, and you're right. I am not of the opinion to purchase land. We have to look at what we have. But Joseph, any opinion on that? You support it?
I agree with you.
Alan?
No, I'm totally 100% for it.
Okay, how about you, John?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. All right, let's move to commissioner items. Let's start, John. Somebody say something?
Bless you.
Oh, bless you. John? Okay. David?
So just a reminder, even though everyone thinks hurricane season's over, we're actually right just at the peak now. We already saw what happened on the Gulf Coast twice now. And then it looks like Peter's going the right direction for us, which is very good, and falling apart. But just a reminder to the people on the phone and to all our department heads that we still have, you know, 6 weeks of the season, and sometimes you only get 3 days or 4 days notice the way they're popping up now. So just please be aware. Appreciate everything that the department heads are doing to be ready. I think the town is ready, but don't let your guard down, right? And then on the COVID thing, I appreciate everything the department heads are doing. Communicating the will of the council and the requirements that we have for our employees. I appreciate the employees interacting with the public in a professional manner with the mask issues and not getting drawn into the debate that is, you know, the debate of our public between mask or not mask. I think our employees are doing a great balancing job interfacing with the public, and I haven't heard any issues from any departments. So I appreciate that. That's all I have, sir.
Thank you, David, as emergency manager. I appreciate that, keeping us on the ball on that. Joseph?
Nothing for me.
Alan?
No, nothing, sir.
Okay, if that closes the commissioner items, do we have a closed session? No? Well then, ladies and gentlemen, I will accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.